how he smiles in the light, my friend, my faithful friend. Speak to me, friend. Whisper, I'll listen. I know you've been locked out of sight all these years. Like me, my friend.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. This week, we're featuring some of our most entertaining interviews of the year. Let's get back to the interview I recorded in April with the great composer and lyricist Stephen Sondheim, who turned 80 this year. He wrote the lyrics for West Side Story and Gypsy, then went on to write words and music for such shows as Company, Follies, A Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd, Sunday in the Park with George, and Into the Woods. When we left off, we were talking about his process of songwriting. When you're writing at the piano, are you recording what you're playing, or are you just like
never
notating it?
No, just notating.
Mm-hmm.
There's the process of putting something down on paper is very important, I think, in keeping the stuff alive in your head. You have to make, even if you're just improvising, you have to make little decisions just to put it down on paper. You can improvise a phrase, and as you're putting it down and play it again, you may think, wait a minute, that A flat, that doesn't sound right. And you change things as you go along, even though you're just sketching. It's precisely what an artist does when he's a painter does, or somebody who draws, when he sketches. When you look at, you know, the sketch pads of anybody, you know, Michelangelo or Leonardo, and see how they experiment with, you know, a horse's head or a hand or something like that. That's precisely the analogy. You're putting, you know, a finger on the, or a hand on the music paper before you try to work out a whole body.
Now, when you're working with rhyme, what's your process for figuring out options for rhyming words?
Oh, well, what you use rhyming dictionaries, what you do, and the important thing is to get the thought first, to know what you want to say. And then how you want to phrase what you want to say. And then as the music develops, you'll start to improvise a rhyme scheme or to sense a rhyme scheme. And then if you're, you know, you say, all right, I've got this line that ends with day, and I want to say she loves him. So how will I? And then you go through the rhyming dictionary. And I say rhyming dictionaries are useful for rhymes like day. They're not useful for trick rhymes. Those you just think up, you know. But there are so many rhymes for day, and you want something that will somehow encompass or pinpoint what you want to say. There's a rhyme right there. About this situation. And I use a particular rhyming dictionary called the Clement Wood, which the advantage of which is that all the rhymes are listed vertically instead of horizontally. So your eye sweeps up and down the page until a word catches it. The problem with rhyming dictionaries that list things horizontally is that your eye tends, because you start to get impatient, to skip over the words. But when your eye goes up and down a page, you don't skip over as much. And then suddenly a word will pop out and, you know, it'll be bay, and you say, oh, yes, of course. Well, of course, they're on Biscayne Bay. Maybe that'll be useful. So you write that bay is a useful rhyme. And you make a list of rhymes that are in some way relevant to what you're trying to say, and then you use them.
The more you write, do you feel like you've used up rhymes? Can't use a rhyme you've already used to...
Well, that's certainly true of any kind of trick or.
Give me an example of the kind of trick rhyme you're talking about.
Oh goodness, I don't know, soul stirring and bolstering in Follies. You know, if you use that once, you don't use it again. Lottie dottie and nobody. You don't use that more than once, or if you do, you're a fool. And I probably fused it more than once, but I don't think so. So that's what I mean. Whereas, yeah, of course, you're always going to end up rhyming day and may and say over and over and over and over again, you know, from song to song, show to show, because they're useful and they're words that have many meanings and many connotations. And so that's what I mean.
I've heard you singing on recordings that have been released of you singing, and you've said about your own singing that you wish you were more on pitch. And
oh yeah, yes. I never studied singing, and I should have. I do not have a God given voice of any elegance or. It's musical, but it's not a voice to sing with. And however, I can sing on pitch if I concentrate on it. But often when I'm – all those things that you heard me sing and play were never meant for the public to hear. They were unrehearsed except insofar as I was – there were almost always just private recordings for friends, or they were from auditions that I would give when I would have to go to producers' offices to backers to raise money. And so they were presented in public, but they're being presented by the composer at the piano. So a certain roughness has charm for listeners. There are certain songwriters who have great voices. Sheldon Harnick, Fred Ebb, the lyricist, wonderful voice.
Harold Arlen, Johnny Mercer.
Harold Arlen, well, Johnny Mercer certainly made a career. And Alan Lerner. So a lot of people have really good voices. And some of us do not. The worst voice I ever heard was Leonard Bernstein. That God only withheld one musical talent from Lenny. And that, well, maybe two. But that one, he gave him the voice of a frog. And I don't know if it ever frustrated him or not, but it was agony to listen to him try to sing. It was embarrassing. And the more enthusiastic he got, because what he was trying to do was to substitute passion for vocal acuity, and it was deeply embarrassing. It was kind of cute, but it was embarrassing. And it was when we had to demonstrate any of the songs from West Side Story, I would see to it that I did the singing. And believe me, I'm not that good, but I'm a lot better than Lenny.
In the show Sondheim on Sondheim, the song "Finishing the Hat" from "Sunday in the Park with George" is one of the songs that's performed. And about that song, you say that it's about what it's like to come out of the process of making art, to be done with something and then re-enter the world. And I just wonder what it's like for you when you finish with a project and you're out of that art that you've been making, and you're both feet are back in the real world. Is the real world like a comfortable or an uncomfortable place for you?
That's not quite the analogy. That's not really exactly what the song's about. The song's about the actual creation. It's about the creative moment. It's about when you are painting a painting, or when you are, even sometimes when you're writing a letter, you get so intensely involved in what you're doing that you look up and suddenly it's an hour later and you didn't know that an hour had passed. And it's always a shock. That song came out of an incident in my life where I sat down to invent a game for a friend. And I started inventing it 8 o'clock in the evening. And I looked up from my pad because the sun was coming up. And I'd been concentrating for 8 hours. And I know, obviously, I must have gotten up to get something to drink or to go to the bathroom or something. But I have no memory of anything except that. And it's trancing out. And that happens to everybody who either creates for public art or professional art, or, as I say, you can get involved in writing a letter. It's about that and getting back in the world. It's not about making a show, which is, after all, a series of those in-and-out moments. So it's the intensity of that moment, even if it's just 2 minutes, but the intensity. And then with a shock, you look around and you're back in the real world. And It's neither an anticlimax nor a disappointment. It's just a plain old ordinary shock. It's like you've been swimming underwater for a long time. You come up for air, take air, and then you go back underwater again.
I want to end with a song, and I'm going to give you the choice of which one we're going to do. Okay. One is a kind of famous one, "Losing My Mind" from Follies, sung by Dorothy Collins. And the other is a song from your most recent show, Rocho, formerly known as Balance, formerly known as Wise Guys. And the song is "The Best Thing That Ever Has Happened." So which would you
prefer?
Well,
it's hard to pick up. I think I prefer "Best Thing That Ever Has Happened" because it's less familiar to the listeners to this program than "Losing My Mind," which has had a life outside of Follies. Much as it would be wonderful to hear Dorothy Collins sing it again. But I think I'd vote for "The Best Thing That Ever Has Happened."
Would you put it in context for us? Tell us where it comes in the show.
Sure.
And something about the writing of the song.
Yeah, well, in the first version of it, which was in the version of the show called Bounce. It was between one of the two leading characters are brothers, Wilson and Addison Meisner. And Wilson was heterosexual and Addison was homosexual. And in the first version, it's Wilson singing to his lady friend, who he eventually is going to marry. And the second one, in Roadshow, we cut that character out because it seemed that the story really is about, if there's any love story in it, it's between the two brothers. And so this is a song now sung by Addison, the homosexual brother, to his young lover, and vice versa. It's a duet between the two guys.
Stephen Sondheim, thank you so much for talking with us.
Sure.
And happy belated 80th birthday.
Thank you, Terry.
First, there's cocktails at the Cosden's.
Oh, Jesus.
Hun, we've got fish to fry.
Why don't you do this one without me, huh?
Then there's dinner at the Dodges, the reception at the Roosevelt's.
I think I'm gonna die.
And every party filled with millionaires who want to build the biggest villa since the days of ancient Rome. So what do you say we just stay home?
You are the best thing that ever has happened to me. You are. Okay then, one of the best things that's happened to me. You are. They say we all find love. I never bought it. I never thought it would happen to me. Who could foresee? You are the goddamnedest thing that has happened to me ever. When did I have this much happiness happen to me? Never. I can't believe my luck, and all I can do is be the best thing that's happened to me.
So what do you say we just stay home? What do you say?
A song from Stephen Sondheim's musical Roadshow. The interview we heard was recorded last April. This year, Sondheim turned 80, and he published the book Finishing the Hat, collecting his lyrics from 1954 to 1981 and telling the stories behind the songs.